Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I heard a good jelly analogy that really, I think, hit a chord with me at the break as well. It's been a day. I've given you two analogies in 1 hour. I'm not so sure that they are as exciting or as fulfilling as advertised or you want it.
As jelly?
I think this is an analogy Monday. It's a victory Monday, obviously. Bears Monday brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. But, like, I'm trying to describe to people the difference. Like, it's the old adage, you know, what is the old adage about porn? You know it when you see it. Isn't that what they said?
Sure.
Right?
I mean, are you just using that analogy because Nick Foles is the quarterback now?
No. My point is like...
Like Skinamax? Where does that fall?
What is the difference between the two guys? You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Like your eyes... tell you it's different, doesn't it?
When I see a duck coming out of the hand of Trubisky and I see a
former receiver's perspective, it's a hell of a lot easier to...
David Kaplan from the
We'll get to that. It's a hell of a lot easier to catch a tight spiral than it is a ball that's floating in an odd fashion. Let me remind you, Peyton Manning didn't throw the prettiest ball. It just got to get
Manning's
there.
Peyton Manning's allowed not to throw the prettiest ball.
I got it. My point is that, yes, the spiral is a hell of a lot easier for a receiver to catch. But getting where it needs to go is what's most important. I don't care who's throwing it. So I'm just saying, like, my analogy, the difference between the two, driving down in the Edens, going 75, you're standing in the back of a flatbed. It's exhilarating at times. Sometimes you'll get there. Other times, you're nauseous, you throw up, and you fall off, and you're on the highway.
There was a video going around a long time ago when these were popular. Do you remember? I believe it was at one of the Waddle Super Bowl parties when Sylvie got on the hoverboard.
Yeah. Yes.
For a while, he was like, I got this.
Yes.
And then he ate it.
Yeah.
There's an analogy for you.
We actually, I think, retired the hoverboard soon after
that. Yeah, because they started exploding.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Mine's outside. I won't leave it in the house. It's not for me. It was for one of my kids.
So my analogy was my dog was having some intestinal problems, which you can gather what that leads to. It leads to some problems when you take them outside. And we took her to the doctor, and the doctor was like, okay, so she's basically got this intestinal problem, and she needs to shed her intestinal lining. And what that means is it's going to come out. And so,
too much information.
And we're like, well, you asked for the analogy.
Okay, I thought this was like peanut butter and jelly.
We asked her, when is this going to happen? And she goes, well, the analogy I can give you is, imagine you give a toddler a jar of jelly. And the toddler is carrying around this jelly, and she's playing with this jar of jelly. Eventually, she's going to drop it. I can't tell you if she's going to drop it today. I can't tell you if she's going to drop it tomorrow. But eventually... that jelly is going to drop, and it's going to go everywhere. That's what this was like.
I think that is a good analogy. There are going to be days when that jelly is carried from point A to point B, and there's no mishap. But you're always on the edge of your seat waiting for something to happen. And that's you as a fan. Imagine being on the sideline. I'll describe it this way as well. I think that when you trust the quarterback, and again, that's why they traded. For everybody who wants to know why didn't you sign Cam Newton? I don't want to go down that rabbit hole now, whether it was because you weren't satisfied he was healthy, whatever the case may be. They went after Nick Foles for a couple of reasons, okay? And one of the big ones was familiarity and trust. They know him, he knows the system, and they trust him. Now, you may argue that there were better options, but all things considered, they decided to go with what they thought was the more trustworthy option, and that's why they brought him in. It's a collaboration. And I think you saw some of that on display in the second half of the game yesterday. And the Bears win 30-26 over the Falcons. It's a collaboration between the quarterback and the head coach and the offensive coaches. Whereas with Mitch, it really wasn't a collaboration. It was Matt Nagy telling him what to do the majority of the time, and Mitch then going out there and trying to have to execute what Matt's telling him what to do at every stop. That'll only work for so long. You have to have somebody that you trust as a coach. The bond has to be tight. You have to trust that that quarterback knows what you want, believes what he sees, and is professional in the manner in which he goes through the process. You're going to see a collaboration, I think, from them. How far it takes us, don't know. But I think, again, as I've said a bunch today, I think that while they all, and it's the reason why Matt didn't name Nick Foles the starter at the end of the, after the end of the game or the press conference yesterday. He wants to do it the right way. The right way was is to announce Nick Foles as your starter after you've talked to Mitch and told him that this change is going to be permanent. It's the classy, it's the professional thing to do. And that's what Matt Nagy did. But now going forward, I think what you're going to see is a collaboration more so than a coach dictating policy to a quarterback where trust really wasn't where it needed to be. And with that said, I think, Chris, you have a little something. And we're going to play it when we come back as well later in the show. We're going to play a lot of what Matt Nagy had to say today. Had a lot of Matt Nagy sound that we still want to get to.
Also, shout out to the Twitchers today, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Abdallah, many of them think your peanut butter and jelly analogy would have been better than what you told us about
spilling.
What was
the peanut butter and jelly?
No, there's no peanut butter and jelly. I gave you the jelly
analogy. When you said jelly, we thought it would be a PB&J, a combo, Nagy, Foles. They go together.
It's not
PB&J.
Chris, you're going to have an analogy before the bottom of the hour.
I got another one for you. It's like eating an ice cream cone on a hot day. Like you're trying to cover all the mistakes. It's running. You're trying to get it. Eventually, some of it's going to get on your hand. You just don't know when and where. You just got to keep your eye out open for everything. And eventually, you're getting.
You know what it does? It takes
ice cream hands.
In some of the ways, it takes the joy out of actually eating the ice cream.
It does.
Not if you put it in a bowl.
Why you got to ruin the analogy?
Well, they tried that. That's what they did. They put the ice cream in a bowl, and it still didn't work. There was a hole in the bottom of the bowl.
Get the cone and put it in the bowl.
Don't do this. He's trying to ruin the bit.
I mean, you're not going to get messy if you put the cone in the bowl.
I want a cone.
Listen, we're going to send him away if he doesn't have an analogy by the end of the...
I'll give you something.
Okay. Before the bottom of the hour, you have to have one or you're going to have to leave.
Yeah, guys. Switch wants me to paint some more pictures if I
could. All right. So I was working hard because on this piece of audio because...
Something tells me somebody's going to get kicked in the ass here.
We're a nice show, Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6, right here on ESPN 1000. We look out for our other teammates here at this station.
Oh,
so I thought that we would put together something that they could play tomorrow on Cap and Jay Hood. 7 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000.
Great show. Guys have clicked right off the bat. It's fantastic.
Every weekday morning right here on ESPN 1000. I thought that I could whip something together and we could play it now. But then the guys can play tomorrow. What, like 7:02 tomorrow morning? What do you like?
7:02.
Sounds good, right?
I say they play it on the 8s.
So, this show and Cap specifically have had a lot of discourse back and forth about the quarterback position, especially Waddle, before the decision was made and then after when Trubisky was named starter. A lot of victory laps right? So I thought we would whip this up together and we would play it now and they can play it tomorrow on the show. Here you go, Cap. Mitch benched montage. Go.
Bears just 1 for 6 on third down today.
Ready?
Third down at 8. Trubisky's pass is picked off. Brady Ray Wilson comes up with the interception for Atlanta.
I was in Mitchell Trubisky's corner, but here's the truth. He foobarred his opportunity, folks. He had the job. All he had to do was play better.
We decided that we're going to start Nick Foles as a starter against Indianapolis.
Without saying take that, you just spent 15 minutes saying take that.
No, I didn't.
Can read between the lines. I get what you did there, Kaplan.
You sure you're not putting in the chest of Waddle, Sylvie, Black Abdallah,
Waddle
Carmen?
At least had the temerity to go on social media and acknowledge that he was wrong. Hey, the two little dudes from Libertyville that are on at night.
Oh my
Did they start crying on their show when that news broke? Because it broke during their show. Were they sobbing? Did they throw up? Did we go to network programming? What did they do? I'd love to know.
Well, I keep hearing Tom say, and Sylvie, yesterday, Waddle and Sylvie were saying, you gave up a fourth-round pick and you paid him a bunch of money, so automatically, that's your guy. And I couldn't disagree with them more vehemently. Jackson, he's up first. Hey, Jackson, what's up?
Hey, Cap. Hope you're doing good. I just want to talk about Ryan Pace making dumb decisions. It's just enough. I just had enough of this.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology. Forever leading you to believe Mitchell Trubisky could get it done at quarterback. Apologize to all of you. Did they start crying on their show when that news broke? Because it broke during their show. Were they sobbing? Did they throw up?
Bird.
I don't know what he had in his throat. If he felt like he had this. I have no idea. Cat. If Foles was that good, he would have already won the job because 99% of our audience thinks Mitch sucks. Well, then how is it close? Goldfish, I apologize to all of you.
We decided that we're going to start Nick Foles as a starter against Indianapolis.
Clap it up, Waddle.
It's going to be interesting tomorrow.
They can play this 7:02 tomorrow.
The little guys from Libertyville? Is that what he called you guys? Yeah. Little guys from Libertyville?
Goldfish. Dog.
Listen, the reason why this decision is made as quick as it is because you saw how they felt about Nick Foles. They did give up a fourth-round pick, and they did guarantee him $21 million. That's why this decision was made as quickly as it was made, because there is a level of trust and familiarity that exists.
7:02.
That's tomorrow?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
All right, what I want to hear is more of your phone calls, 312-332-3776.
Cap is doing a great thing tomorrow. He's walking home. He's walking 29 miles.
I just made my donation today. I went online and contributed to a wonderful cause.
I mean, I'm not telling people what to do with their time, but if someone wants to play that, like John Cusack carrying the boombox and Say Anything behind him for a little bit
while he's walking?
For a little bit of it. Maybe during the third mile, because, you know, the third game is when
Adam, this is a unity walk, and what you're doing is driving a wedge between us and Cap.
No, we're bringing it together. We're bringing the unity. We're bringing it unity. Bringing unity between the Libertyville dudes and
The little Libertyville
guys. Yeah, get that straight.
Yeah, little Libertyville dudes. We're both taller than them.
Do you feel a sense of, I don't know, how would you describe your feeling right now?
I don't have kids, but I imagine that this is what it feels like when
your kid comes home with a straight A report card.
and you know your buddy's kid failed.
Yeah. More of your phone calls when we come back. Also, Matt Nagy spoke today, and we'll play a lot of that. More Bears coverage.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
A very entertaining montage, Chris. Thumbs up. But have you developed your analogy yet?
No, not yet. Still working on that.
All right. Mitch Trubisky, no longer the quarterback. Matt Nagy made that clear today, meeting the media. Nick Foles will be your quarterback going forward into the future as the Bears rally to beat the Atlanta Falcons 30-26 yesterday in Atlanta. Marcus is in Oak Forest. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Basically, I just called because I think it's time for heads to roll. I'm happy about the win. But I'm also very upset that it took so long for us, for the Bears, to come to that decision. I don't care what those guys in the locker room said. You couldn't pay me to believe that Nick Foles actually lost that QB competition to Mitch Trubisky. Ryan Pace drafted this guy. We've been waiting three long years, whatever it was. After the second year, I could have said, and I don't get paid for this. They get paid for this. I could have said that Mitch wasn't the guy. And you guys were saying, hey, let's give him one more year. Not you, Waddle or Sylvie, but, I mean, everybody had their feelings about it. But Ryan Pace, everybody, let's get this guy another year. We knew what this guy was. Then they paid Nick Foles to come in here. I thought he had the starting job hands down. But then they're going to say, oh, it's going to be a QB competition. Really? And then to really say that Mitch won the job and then to get the job and then totally lose the job to Nick Foles now. And now what we saw yesterday was the real starting quarterback playing for the Bears and basically playing and looking like a starting quarterback should look. And I'm just really upset that it took the Bears this long to realize that Mitch isn't the guy. And now it's time for Ryan Pace. I think Ryan Pace was keeping him in there just to because he was so sweet on him and it was his guy and he didn't want to admit defeat. I think it's time for Ryan Pace to admit defeat. It's Nick Foles' job. And now I think it's time for repercussions. We could have had Jamal Adams. We could have had Deshaun Watson. We could have had Pat Mahomes. But instead, they went outside the box and made a foolish decision and got Mitchell Trubisky, some guy I never heard of. I heard of everybody else. And they want to get this guy? And it's finally proved them wrong. I'm ready for heads to roll.
Well,
thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate the passion. We'll see again. We may have disagreed with the decision to start Mitch to start the season, but they find themselves at 3-0. So whether you say it's by luck, however they got there, they were able to navigate through the first couple, 3 weeks of the season without a loss. Now you've got the quarterback. Whether you wanted Nick Foles to be your starter from the first snap of the regular season to win it to now, Nick Foles is your starting quarterback and you find yourself at 3-0. I guess the question is now what? What are you looking to see now? Well, you see the receivers become more productive. There were some drops for Mitch. There were some drops for Nick Foles. Will the running game continue to be a focal point? Will there be more consistency? How will the offense? I mean, there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered. But the truth is whether or not you think they made the right decision from the jump, they find themselves at 3-0 right now.
I also disagree with the premise that Ryan Pace should be fired because he drafted Mitchell Trubisky. Like, they're a pretty good team everywhere else, right? Like, they've – now, I know last year was a disappointment, but it was still 8-8. Like, I have kind of – and I've talked to you guys about this before. I don't get the people who think that Pace should just be gone. Like, he should have the ability to correct the mistake and move this franchise forward. Well, He's done a good job building a good defense, and he has had some nice pickups in free agency and also some nice pickups in the draft. We love this draft class that he had this year. You know, Mooney has already been a good, productive receiver on the offensive side, and we hope Kmet will too. Well, here's Jalen Johnson's been good.
Here's hoping that Cole Kmet will become more part of the offense now with Nick Foles guiding. But we'll see.
Just because he messed up on Trubisky does not mean that he should be gone.
That's a big mistake, but I get what you're saying. I mean, Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, I'm Adam Shaheen. I mean, there are some...
But if they are successful to a point this season with Foles, and then they draft a quarterback next year who is the guy. I mean,
well, regardless of what you want, if they find themselves in the postseason this year and Nick Foles plays fairly well, there's going to be no change. And I've asked the question before the season kicked off whether or not everyone was going to get a quote unquote COVID pass. That because of the challenges presented in this season by something we've never seen before, would lead to teams not be willing to make changes. We saw the Bulls do the opposite.
Well, right.
But I'm not sure what the Bears' perspective will be on that.
Other teams in the NBA have not taken that path, and also Major League Baseball, right? Like, we're going to find out within the next week, managers who are going to be out after a short COVID season. And I get the impression that teams are going to do their business as if it was a normal.
I'm just going to tell you, if they get to the postseason, if they get to the playoffs, there was not going to be change in the front office. There's just not. Like, if Nick Foles fails miserably, you may see some catastrophic change or some significant change would be the best way to describe it.
But that would mean in the next 13 games,
yes,
what, they win three?
If it goes south and you're completely unset and Nick Foles doesn't play well, you're not going back to Mitch. You may, yes, you're
right, because
significant change is on the table 13, for sure.
13 games left, they already have three in the bank, which would mean if they just win three or four, they're at seven, right? Is seven catastrophic? Is seven to seven
probably
kick
not
into change?
No, you'd have so to be would, a 5-11 team.
Okay, so that would mean out of the next 13 games, they win two.
But I think it also is a matter of how the quarterback plays. You can't botch the quarterback position this bad, not with the second pick of the draft. And for whatever reason, if Nick Foles doesn't play at least seven, I just want average. Just average.
Yeah.
Like if he plays poorly, now you've screwed up on a couple of choices with the quarterback position, and you can't do that. Demetrius is on the south side. Thanks, Demetrius, for hanging in there.
How you doing?
Good.
Yes, I just had a few thoughts for you guys. Like, say, like you guys was talking about if it was a catastrophic injury or whatever. So if Nick Foles were to get hurt, like if you go back to Trubisky, you would actually be handicapping your defense all over again. So I say, like, why not, you know, Tyler Bray, he played in the SEC. Or whatever, why not give him a chance to see what he can do? And the second thought, like, how can we got to stop blaming Trubisky about it. How about we blaming it for Cassidy? Because I'm pretty sure Ryan Pace went and told him what type of player he was getting. He's like, I'm looking for a player like myself. They supposed to went up and looked up Ryan Pace stats and see what type of player he was to dictate what type of player he was drafting. You know what I'm saying? That's all I was thinking about it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Demetrius. Yeah, I don't believe that Ryan Pace has to get the approval from George McCaskey or Virginia McCaskey to make a draft pick and who he's choosing. That they hired Ryan to do that on his own. Now it all rests with him. Like, if these players don't play well, that's on him. We'll find out if Nick Foles was a good signing or a good trade. Actually, it wasn't a free agency move. It was a trade. Mark is in Logan Square, and I think he has an apology he would like to issue.
Christopher?
Hi, Mark.
I would like to apologize. I was wrong. You were right. I am now taking the hater out of Hater Black. Now you are just known as Christopher Black. That being said, first of all, that visor that he had, that he came in there with, looking like RoboCop, I don't think I've ever seen a Bears quarterback with a dark visor. I thought that was pretty sweet. Now, the team itself on offense looked much more comfortable with him under center. And like you keep saying, Tom, he's a professional guy. He knows where the ball needs to go. We're set up to win now. Now, as much as I was hoping Mitch would get it together just for the sake of, you know, being a Bears fan and having somebody that we can trust in the future, because we still don't have the future. We're still going to have to be looking at quarterbacks in the draft. That being said, we're a win-now team. I did not like Nagy's game plan with Mitch in there. I don't understand why he threw four deep balls. They didn't respect it. That's one of the reasons why that ball got picked off. They were sitting on short routes. And then him having Laser tell him instead of him telling him, I thought it was kind of weak. But, Christopher, again, I apologize. You were right. Go Bears. Thank you for your time.
Bears.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I'm not going to Matt Nagy's busy trying to get things, you know, settled and get this team pointed back in the right direction after they were trailing a bad football team on the road. I'm not going to hold him not telling Mitch himself against him.
Just, does that still make Abdallah a hater then?
Probably so. I don't think you were.
Hey, man, you're a hater.
And by the way, do you have your analogy?
Oh, me? No, not
yet. You
not
don't?
Yet. No.
Well, you better start working.
All right.
You'll have some time because Waddle's World is next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. Look at your robots in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Look at my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yes. This is Waddle's World, brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. It is a victory Monday. Bears beat the Falcons 30-26 in dramatic come-from-behind fashion. And we learned today from Coach Matt Nagy what we all expected to be the case, and that is Nick Foles will be your starting quarterback going forward. We also learned today, unfortunately, it's been confirmed that Tariq Cohen has torn his ACL. We wish him a speedy recovery, and it was kind of a gruesome play. I thought he had his. I thought they blew out his ankle, but then as Chris was saying, I think when we were talking about this, he grabbed his knee.
It landed right on his ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was friendly fire, or not friendly fire, but it was caused by...
Unintentional fire.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that injury update is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org.
I think that means that that David Montgomery's going to get even more carries, which I'm excited about. I the more I watch him play, the more I think he's going to be a good player.
Patterson looked pretty good as a, you know...
So they're going to have to pick up the slack between the two of them for the plays that Tariq Cohen was on the field for. But again, as we said, Tariq Cohen has a torn ACL. We wish him a very speedy recovery. And I was just in general, there weren't as many injuries this weekend as there were last weekend. And it would be hard to duplicate what we saw last week. But fewer injuries overall, right, guys? I mean, if you saw the Cowboys-Seahawks game, you saw an injury to running back Chris Carson, which was a dirty play in my book. That's the gator roll. That's a gator roll. You know when the gator attacks something in the swamps? It grabs a hold of it and spins? That's exactly what the Cowboy defensive player did to Chris Carson on that play. Tristan Hill was the defensive tackle from the Cowboys, tackled him and then held on to his leg while rolling over. Pete Carroll took exception, telling his listeners on his Monday morning radio show that he was really pissed about that one. And I would have been as well. You can't do that. That's a dirty play. I don't care what anybody says.
You ever see anything like that in your playing days?
Oh, sure.
Someone do that? A little gator roll?
It didn't happen frequently, but... That's not a new move. That's the gator rule has been around for quite some time, but it is a dirty rule. Broncos defensive tackle Jarrell Casey out for the season with a torn bicep. So there were injuries, but not nearly as many as there were. And we'll continue to take your calls as well. Jeff Dickerson's going to join us at 4 o'clock, and we also have a ton of sound from Matt Nagy from earlier today that we'll get to before we get out of here as well. The baseball postseason has been... it's set. It's ready to roll, right? So, Adam, what are we looking at in terms of schedule early on here?
Well, everybody's off today. Everybody gets set. Thanks. All the pitching announcements are taking place and the press conferences and whatnot and all that. So as far as local teams are concerned, you're going to be able to hear the Sox and the A's game one tomorrow right here on ESPN 1000 at 1:45 p.m.
Sox are the 7th seed traveling to Oakland. The A's are the 2nd seed. You'll get Lucas Giolito for the Sox against undecided.
Against Jesus Luzardo.
Okay,
for
there
game
we go.
One. But it is questionable how long Jesus Luzardo will be pitching because I believe it's going to be short rest, so it could be because they're pitching three left-handers and the Sox are undefeated against left-handers.
Yes, I like the Sox chances, at least in game one.
I would agree with you.
But they're on the road.
They are on the road.
Okay. The Cubs will not play until Wednesday.
The Cubs will play on Wednesday once again right here on ESPN Chicago. And you can hear that game at 12:45 on Wednesday. And those pitching matchups have yet to be determined.
And I'm going to get to this in the good and the bad and the dirty today. But what's with all the butthurt with regard to Chris Bryant? What is going on there? I thought Carmen and Yurko had a great conversation about this. This seems like a really manufactured controversy. Like, it started last week when Sylvie and Gordon Whitmire were having a little bit of a battle. Like, Sylvie asked, I thought, were some pretty fair questions about, you know, wanting Chris Bryant back, but at what cost? And why isn't Chris Bryant the great player that we saw him be in 15, 16, and 17? And as a Cub fan, is it okay to pine for those days and wanting more of that? I don't get it. Like, to ask Chris Bryant how he feels about Twitter criticism, Like anybody who's alive gets Twitter criticism. I don't care if you're a Major League Baseball player or you're just somebody that works, you know, in a local business in town. There's Twitter critics everywhere. Doesn't this seem like a manufactured fight?
I don't give a
right, right. I mean, and that's fantastic. You don't give a dump. I mean, good. Is it fair to ask whether or not Chris is in the Cubs' plans for the future and at what cost? It's always been a conversation that had nuance.
Yeah, it's fair.
I mean, like, I still believe Chris Bryant's the Cubs' best hitter. Are you going to give Chris Bryant $350 million with Scott Boras? Like, ask Theo. Don't ask the Twitter critics. Ask Theo why he doesn't have a long-term extension.
Listen, shout out to the dude because on when he went out with injury, he was batting 195, and over the weekend, he bumped that to 206. He had 5 RBI coming into the weekend. He added to that total. He collected 6 RBI on the weekend, so take that.
I don't give a
I think he's their best hitter, but...
Yeah, like, but... No, it's all fair. You make a great point. Sylvie made a great point last week. And
do you realize, Chris, as well, I don't mean to interrupt, but he's missed 100 games in the last 3 years, including this season, where the season's an abbreviated 60-game stretch? Like, look, injuries are injuries. I mean, I get it. But I think it's a fair question when you start to think about the future. First of all, if you're a Cub fan, you pine for the days of 15, 16, and 17 where Chris Bryant was as good a player as there was in Major League Baseball. He was a rookie of the year. He was the MVP. He's, I mean, one of the top 15 players in all of baseball for that 3-game stretch. Still damn good. Still damn good. And you still, if you're a Cub fan, I would want him on my team. But the question becomes at what cost, right?
Absolutely. And, like, I have a splintered opinion on this because part of me says, hey, dude, shut up. Just go play. Like, what are you worried about Twitter critics? What are you worried about people?
Well, that was brought to him.
No, I know. But, like, the whole thing, the whole conversation around Bryant and his big contract that he deserves and all this stuff, who cares what people are talking about?
Right.
Go take care of business. And then part of me kind of feels like, well, if he needed this to motivate himself,
whatever,
and he matches
takes
in the playoffs, yeah, I kind of get it.
Like, I don't.
But where's this been? Because he struggled last year. This year he's been atrocious, and in any way you cut it, you look at any stats, OPS, his weighted runs created plus, his WAR.
Well, last year wasn't horrible. I mean, last year he was an all-star. He hit 31 home runs,
I think. It wasn't an MVP, though.
It was not, and he set the bar there.
If you want to be in the conversation with the MVPs and the 10 years, $300 million contracts,
right,
it's a different thing. But
that's what I mean, I don't understand where it escalated from, hey, is Chris part of the future and at what cost? And are you concerned because he's missed 100 games in the last 3 seasons and he's played well, but not like he was on pace to be Mike Trout or to be Mookie Betts
in the
or
combo,
to be one
right
of the. Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't give a about that.
Like if that's what gets you going and he mashes in the NL playoffs and the Cubs win a World Series.
Right. If that's
fantastic.
What gets, yeah, you're right. I mean, because we always said that about Lovie Smith's Bears back in the day. Like every Tom, Dick, and Harry that covered football picked them to be the division champ.
Yeah.
Like 13-3, 12-4, 11-5 at worst. And Lovey used to always sell to the guys, nobody's giving you any respect. No respect. We all picked you to win the division.
Well, back in May, we were watching The Last Dance, loving every single time Jordan made up some ghost that was talking blank about him to then go out and pummel his opponents.
Now, I don't know. Like maybe there are a ton of Twitter trolls out there that are calling Chris Bryant names and going over the top with criticism. But, like, that's going to exist regardless. I don't know why that would be even a conversation point. I don't get it. It just seemed like this blossomed and became a big story for no reason. Like, everyone gets it. He's been hurt this year. That's right. But you've been hurt 2 or 3. Like last year, even in an all-star, or he was an all-star, he missed 15 games, didn't he? Which isn't a ton, but that's coming off a year where he missed 45 or 50 games.
He played 147 games last year.
That's, you know, that's good.
2018, 102 games.
Okay, so that's 60 missed. Yeah. That's 15, that's 75. How many missed this year?
This year he played 34.
Okay, so that's 25. That's 100 games missed. I'm not making any proclamation. I'm just saying it becomes, if it's any player, you start to ask the question, especially if the question is about signing him to a big contract in the future, how concerned are you that he hasn't been able to stay healthy? Like, these are fair conversations, aren't they? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of strange.
Hey, I don't give a...
I guess you don't.
That sounds way too much like, I don't want your life.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
was that Moxie?
And you're right, yeah. Chris. If that's what gets you going and you kill it in the postseason, then fantastic. But this was a weird weekend, wasn't it, on that front, on the baseball front?
Also the White Sox. Bat
flips are only cool on the south side, I guess, right?
There's also slipping all the way to the seventh seed in the AL. I mean, a lot of weird stuff.
It was some baseball weirdness that got trumped by...
Did they purposely slip to the seventh seed so they could face all lefty starters against the A's?
I don't know, but they have not. They've never really played well at Oakland.
Point at your head, Doc Giff.
Don't know.
I don't want to mess around with the A's.
All right, when we come back, let's get to some nonsense, right? You want to do that? You want to get to some nonsense? I'm done with my baseball tirade. I just don't get it. And you know, it may show up again in a good, bad, and dirty, but I have the nutty story of the week when we come back.
I don't give a how about that?
This hour brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I forgot to mention that the Miami Heat disposed of the Celtics last night. They advanced to the NBA Finals. Did you have money on that last night, Abdallah? I did too. Wrong end. I thought that the Celtics, although I predicted that the Heat would win the series, I thought it was likely that the Celtics would push it to a Game 7 where the Heat would dispose of them. That didn't happen. The Heat got rid of them last night.
Tom, you outthought yourself.
I did. There's no question. I was on the Heat all along.
Yes, all along. And you also, yes. I'm pretty sure
I'm
you told us Heat in six, didn't you?
I'm an idiot.
Did you tell us Heat in six?
I probably did. This is why I suck at gambling.
I told you if you plan on the Heat winning, you should bet the Heat every game until it happens.
All right, I want to talk about it. The Heat are, I don't want to talk about it for gambling reasons. What? I'm disappointed in myself.
Right,
I did. Right. Ball went right through my hands.
Okay.
By the way, game one of the NBA Finals, Wednesday.
Heat in six? Is that what you're playing?
No, I'm picking the Lakers to win this series. You?
Yeah.
I'm probably leaning Lakers.
And when LeBron gets his fourth title?
You gonna have a GOAT combo?
I'm not.
You gonna goat it up?
I'm not. That's not my thing.
Ten finals?
That's not my thing.
You gonna have a GOAT?
But there will be some conversations that people are going to have. I will not be participating in a change of heart. Michael Jordan is and always will be the GOAT to me. But the conversation will be had. You know it's going to be happening, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, hours and hours of ESPN television will be devoted to it.
Yeah, Fox
for months.
Sports. Come on.
Ski everywhere. Hey, it's time for the nuttiest story of the day. It's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
Tends to get a little nutty.
Yeah, it's bound to get a little nutty. It is. I asked you which story you thought I should choose for the nuttiest story of the day, and then I kind of smacked myself in the face for even asking. Because it was obvious, wasn't it, Adam?
Yes, I thought so.
Naked man found eating flowers and grass along Route 72 in Penn Township. Oh, it gets worse. The man was covered in feces when the officers found him. Where do you find these things? Seriously.
Internet.
Internet's never lost, has it?
Internet.
We go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. A naked man was found along Route 72 in Penn Township, eating flowers and grass on Sunday morning, police said. Police were dispatched to the scene after a call reported a naked man gardening. Officer located the man, who appeared to be in his mid-30s, covered in feces and eating grass and leaves, police said. According to the press release, all responding officers were certified crisis intervention team officers, and the man was taken into custody without incident. He was taken to Lancaster General Hospital for appropriate evaluation and care. Wasn't hurt anybody, wasn't violent. He was just naked, covered in poop, and eating leaves. and grass.
Wait, at the start of that story, didn't you say he was gardening?
He was gardening.
So was he doing this in his own yard, on his own property?
That's how it started, I guess. And then he was found along Route 72.
He migrated?
In Penn Township. Well, there's only so much gardening you can do in one confined area. You want to branch out with your nakedness.
Yeah, well.
How did he get covered in poop? Like, you're asking about gardening. I want to know why he's covered in feces.
Maybe he was doing some self-fertilizing.
I would not advise you to do that in any way, shape, or form. But then when you're done self-fertilizing, maybe put your pants back on.
Well, and you're dirty, though, so you need to shower up first.
NASA's unveiling a $32 million toilet for astronauts.
It's actually cheaper than the previous model.
Sure.
It is.
You're right. Astronauts are getting a new $32 million toilet, which will make answering the call of nature in space a lot easier. The special space loo will be sent to the International Space Station next week by NASA for astronauts to test out in microgravity. Do things come out differently in space?
Yep.
Like
they immediately float.
So, how do you capture it and make sure it doesn't get back at you? And you end up gardening naked on Route 72 in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Suction.
I feel like this is one of those things back in the day when we first went to space, that they figured out all the different mechanical items, and then they got up there and they're like, oh, wow, this is not like it works at home.
By the way, do you realize that astronauts' urine is processed and recycled for reclaimed water?
Up there or down here?
Wherever you want.
Evian.
You guys want to play a game?
Evian.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping
the
nation.
Does it say it on the bottle?
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table.
It's
the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
I can't wait. Evian, it used to be pee. A drunk naked brawl between two women led police to a man's arrest.
Whoa, how does he get arrested? Oh, did it happen on his front lawn?
Police received a call earlier this month about two women fighting in the front yard of a house. When they arrived at the scene, they found a 27-year-old who happened to be intoxicated and a 24-year-old who also happened to be intoxicated engaged in a physical confrontation. One of the women also happened to be naked. Both women were issued a criminal summons for disorderly conduct, and one was released from the hospital for treatment. However,
but the guy inside was wanted on felony arrest charges.
Felony kidnapping charges. Yeah. After that, they found that the 27-year-old male had several warrants out for his arrest for felony kidnapping.
I'm not going to lie to you.
He was arrested and turned over to police.
I think this is the same story that Tyler read to us on Friday.
Did he?
It sounds, or this is another story about two naked women fighting on the front lawn where a guy inside was actually wanted on a felony charge.
I played on Friday in the Twitch chat and I got it wrong.
Ohio the right choice?
I think there was drugs involved.
Okay, I'm going to go Ohio thinking with full disclosure that I believe I was read this story on Friday.
Because this story came out, I'm looking at the date, this says September 28th.
Well, you have to also count out that it's possible
the 28th.
That...
I thought we went into the future for this. It is the 28th.
It is possible that Tyler has time travel.
It is possible.
So I'm going to go Ohio.
I'm going to go Florida. Gator chomp.
I will have to do some research, but it is University Heights, Ohio.
Yeah, I think that this is weird. I'm not even going to celebrate because I believe it's the same story.